Well, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and get started. Bill's getting stuff together, and he was the last one that I saw coming in out there. So, why don't we pray real quick? Lord, we thank you for the moisture and for the cool temperatures, the winter being here. We thank you for the people that are here. Lord, we pray for those that are traveling about. I think of Tracy and Kelvin and others that are about taking care of things. I just pray that you take care of them, keep them safe where they are, and pray for the people in the Midwest and the East and dealing with what they're dealing with there. And Lord, we just ask that you would open hearts and minds as we watch this show today and listen to what John Stone Street has to say and understand our place in you and the hope that we have. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Before we start, I want to address a question that Jan asked 2 weeks ago, and it was a good question, and I think it deserves a little bit of discussion, and I'm just going to preface this with saying that, you know, we're kind of thinking people, most of us in here, and we are people who have degrees and use our minds, and that the thought of understanding truth and letting that lead you to Christ, that's kind of how I got there. But where did that original faith and understanding come from? So I just wanted to highlight a couple of scriptures that I thought might point to that. And you know, if you look at Hebrews 11:1, it talks about the hall of faith, chapter 11 of Hebrews. And verse 1 talks about faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. So it started with faith, and then if you go into Ephesians chapter 2, you know, faith, we talk about for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest we should boast. Okay, so, and we're created for good works after that in verse 10. The whole idea is that, you know, faith is the beginning of that belief and the understanding of who Christ is. And it's the beginning of where we understand who he is. And then from there, I think that's where you begin to understand the truth, you know, that in John 8:32, for you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And that's how the movie Truth Rising ended. So I just wanted to get, I think that's kind of the premise that they start with, and starting with hope and moving to truth. And the others will come on after that. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Good. And John's going to talk about it here. The hope that we're talking for is not a, you know, I hope I get that big red fire truck for Christmas hope. It's a hope that we are looking for an assured event that's coming. Okay, it's not a wished for. It's not a I hope this happens. It's a event that we know is going to happen, and we're hoping for it and waiting for it to occur. So, but John will talk about that more. Before we get into the movie, I wanted to ask one of the discussion questions first, just because it's been a couple weeks since we watched the movie. And some of the stuff that they talked about going on in the world is bad. And some of the stuff we watch going on in Minneapolis, places like that right now, is bad stuff. But what is good going on? What are good things that are happening in our civilization, or things that about our civilization that are good and optimistic, not just shortcomings? And can you think of some? So, go ahead. Okay, yeah, more people are coming to Christ. We seem to hear things going on in Asbury campus and stuff like that. Yeah. Gen Z is surprising, yeah. You hear them, and the number of kids that are following the Lord, making smart decisions about you know, not living together and getting married and doing the right things. They seem to be a morally upright group of kids when you talk to them. They're and surprising, I think, is the word, because you don't expect to see that in 20, 25-year-olds. They do. They are thinking about the future more than the now, which is something maybe we didn't teach our kids. I don't know. That what? I'm sorry. Oh, number of young kids at the March for Life. That's yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah. Laura.
This is not exactly related, but in the news this last week, I saw that Somali woman, the Dutch woman, the former lawmaker woman, was coming out, speaking out against the Somalis in Minnesota, and she was saying Trump, what is right. She was pursuing that. And I just thought, oh, my gosh, I know that lady.
Okay. The one in the movie here that we watch. Oh, Kirstie Alley. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, and she's a Somali too, so that's interesting. Yeah. Go ahead, Dieter.
Descriptive term for my son in response to that.
Broccoli haircut. Yeah. I have to laugh because that's what our grandson has. The veggie tails. I do have the anti-broccoli. So, you know, the Marines walk into the barber and say, I'd like mine high and tight. I want mine low and loose. That's funny. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and watch this. So there's a little bit of nostalgia here, but there's a lot of meat. So, you know, you might want to take some notes about the things he says along with the four main pieces that you're going to watch. And we'll talk about it when he's done. Go ahead. So what do you think? Good stuff, huh? That last bit from Newhouse, you know, as Christians, we don't have a right to despair and we don't have a reason to despair because our hope is already there. It's already done. Next week, he's going to go into truth, and the truth that he's going to talk about is four chapters of history that are done but not really written yet, okay? Creation, fall, redemption, and restoration, okay? The truth is there. It just hasn't been completed at the restoration piece of it yet. So anyway, and where we fit into that. So that's kind of the preview for what's going to happen next week. let's talk about some of the questions here that they have in the – I think they're in your book on probably page 2 or something like that. You know, sometimes Christ's lordship is, it says, defined as his being Lord over our personal lives, yet Scripture talks about him being Lord of all creation. How does that reality fit in your lives in terms of being what he talks about here for this moment now, and this moment being as chaotic as we think it is, And I would submit to you that there's been other people who were in other chaotic moments like this, especially as he talks about the Christians in 1 Peter who were being stuck up on stakes and lit on fire in Rome, and he's telling them to have hope. So how does that relate to us? What kind of hope do we need to have?
Not like the world has.
Awesome, Sue, yeah. Yep. Sharon? Yeah, that knowing that God is in control. He has written history from beginning to end. We just need to live it out. What's our place in living it out, right? Not yet, anyway, huh? Yeah. Yep. The idea that we're here for a purpose and we need to be bold, and you working with college students have that opportunity. Each one of us has that opportunity in different places in different ways, and you know that we're put here for a time like this. You know, it's Esther 4:14 talks, you know, Mordecai says, who knows but whether you were put in this time for this place, or this place for this time. And my son and I had that conversation when he was IT director for a hospice group during COVID. And they didn't have the bandwidth, they didn't have the tools, they didn't have the ability to send nurses out individually to all these people and then record the stuff on, you know, devices and all that. And he had to develop that bandwidth, buy it, figure it out. Fortunately, he had already kind of taken some steps before COVID hit because he knew they needed to get into bigger things. But he was working 20, 22-hour days trying to make that stuff work. And you know, the family was home. He was trying to make all this stuff work. All the COVID restrictions were around there. And he said, this is hard, Dad. And I said, you know what? Who knows but that you're here for this time in this place, and your talents and your abilities and your mentality are here because God needs you in this place. That was a hard time for him, for sure. Exactly. Not many, right, yeah. And it doesn't matter how big our influence and our sphere is, we all have an influence and a sphere in people that we talk to and people that we influence. And it's important to be that influence for them. Go ahead, Pam, you had your hand up. Yeah, it'll just, so Dieter, when you're coming in at the aircraft carrier and the boat's going up and down, you're not looking at the front of the boat going up and down, are you? That gets distracting. Yeah, eyes are shut. Full on shut. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but, you know, if you're looking at things going up and down, you focus on the thing that's steady And those are the things that are steady. Christ is risen and Christ is Lord. Yeah, go ahead, Sharon. Yes. So she talked about, it's interesting that never thought of, we were born for this particular time and moment. If you believe that Jesus is Christ is Lord and he controls those things, then we are definitely here where we are for this time and this moment. And how do you interject yourself into that? That's good. And so the next question talks about, are you prone to despair? Let's just assume that there is moments of despair in all of our lives as we look at what's going on around us. How do these four reasons for hope help you get through that? I mean, we kind of went over that a little bit, you know, the fact that we're here now for this time and place, and that we haven't talked much about Christ is making all things new. How does that fit into that, Lauren? Yeah. God is in control of that. You know, when you look at what's going on, how is what's happening in the U.S. positioning the world to be where he wants it to be for his restoration project that's coming, you know? What do we as Christians have to look forward to with that? That's good. Focus on and
may
him.
May
good. That's kind of the next question, is how does God, the fact that God chose you for this time and place, help give your life meaning? I think that's a good answer, and focus on that. So this one's more of a thought piece. But the last one, you know, where has God called you to be an agent of restoration in this time and place? And specifically, what people, places, and work has he given you to be, to invest in? It's kind of an individual thought process, but, you know, it's a, what is it? What is it? Who is it? Where is it? How is it that he wants me to be invested into lives, actions, people, institutions, and how? I mean, you know, how do I impact the group of liberal people that I work with in the Historical Society? Okay, I mean, it's an uncomfortable place to be, but I'm the president. How do I, as a Christian, influence that organization for Christ in a way that doesn't alienate everybody, right? Right. It's knowing this truth. We'll get to that in the next week, and we'll get to our identity later on too, about who am I and who am I called to be and what am I called to do. Yeah, and how do you do that in a way that honors Christ, pictures Christ, portrays Christ, and lives through him, you know, lets him live through you into what you're going to do, right? Yeah, Pam?
I think this question is very thought-provoking, where God placed you, what
No, I think you're right. That's because there's people everywhere doing all kinds of hard things right now. Yeah, a lot of places.
That's
good. How do you be, right?
Yeah.
Good. Sue.
One of the things the Lord's been trying to work on me is just to be quiet and listen. You know, just don't listen to all the voices and all the news and all the social media and everything. Just have some silence and listen to what God is trying to say.
Be still and know that I am God. Right, and it puts these four things into context, I guess is what I want to say. That's all good stuff. Well, let's just stop there for today and come back. We're going to listen to the four pieces of the story that he talked about that we fit into right now. And that's next week. If you haven't seen the movie or you want to go back and review the movie, it's online. I think Lauren and Linda are going to try to put links to these videos up if you miss one or want to go back and look at it to prepare for next week or something like that. So you'll be able to look at those. But thanks for being here. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in you and the lives that you've given us, the place that you put us to live, and the things you've given us to do. And we just pray that you'd help us to keep our eyes on you as we do that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you.